And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast with Davey Erskine and Mickey Brennan here with you as always. And fresh back from, I suppose, the chariot racing and the pig wrestling, Davey Erskine from Dundurry. What a weekend for Meath. Colm O'Rourke and his Chargers winning the Tailteann Cup. And Meath now have completed something that no other team in the country have completed. They've won the All-Ireland, they've won the Centenary Cup, and they've won the Tailteann Cup. Nobody else can boast that.
No, absolutely incredible, Mickey. Yeah, look, what a win. What scenes of celebrations and what a feel-good factor around the county since that, really. You're going around and everybody has a smile on their face. Isn't it just lovely? It's kind of reminiscent of when the ladies won the three consecutive All-Irelands. And it was a great win. It really was. I suppose we were under the cosh maybe for the first 15 minutes, but after that, we were by far the better side. And second half performance, which yielded 1-10, was as good as we've seen from a Meath team for a long time. And it was an outstanding success, really. And delighted for the lads, delighted for Colm and everybody associated with it.
Yeah, and, you know, I suppose a lot of people are still unsure about this whole Tailteann Cup thing and whatever. But if ever a team were to kind of give it its dues and maybe promote it a little bit, it was Meath on Sunday because, you know, the way they played number one and then the way they celebrated it together, receiving the cup on the Hogan stand. Donal Keoghan, the way he raised that cup up. And I know Fergal Lynch talked about it on our match day diary as well. You know, if Meath won, what way would he raise the cup? Would it be a Stephen Cluxton type? Yeah, there you go. There's the Leinster title, you know, type lift of the cup. Or would it be the Jordan Henderson shuffle? And now we could have picked somebody else instead of Jordan Henderson because, you know, but in fairness to Liverpool, they do celebrate cups when they win them. They don't win them very often. So it was more of that type of celebration, which, again, was brilliant to see. And it meant so much to Donal Keoghan and the whole Meath team.
But me, very similar to Liverpool, Mickey, we don't win much either. So it's a little bit like that, you know. With Cluxton, I get it because he's literally going up doing the same thing year after year and it probably does get a bit monotonous. I'm sure if Keoghi was going up for the last 10 years lifting the Tailteann Cup, he'd probably be the same at this stage. But that's a guy who hasn't missed a championship game in 11 years. He's been soldiering through good times and bad, mostly, I won't say bad, but mostly mediocre times. And that was just rewards for his commitment, endeavours, dedication to Meath football over the last decade or so. And just delighted for him, and you could see everybody else, and I mean the players, you could see how happy they were for Keoghi. A lot of those guys are only starting out on their careers and it's a fantastic boost for them. Keoghi's maybe at the other end of it, but so happy for him. And you know, I have to just mention one man just when we're talking about that. I kind of felt a bit for Brian Menton on Saturday, Mickey. I know he stepped away, obviously, this year, and I just thought it would have been lovely if he was still involved. You know, very similar to Keoghi, similar time scales, and he obviously just dropped away, and he would have been obviously good enough to be part of it this year and stuff. And just was thinking about him after the game as well. Like, but I'm sure he's just as happy for Donal and the group as anybody is. But it was brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. And just to mention Donal Keoghan and, you know, his service for Meath, even this year, he still had the most starts out of all of the 42 players that Meath used this year, which is absolutely phenomenal. He had 15 starts out of 17 games, if I'm not mistaken, which is just phenomenal stuff from him.
he's Mr. Consistent, and I love the way Colm has like quickly gone in there and he said he's our leader, he's our go-to man, he needs to be involved every game, whether that's Bow Pearl Cup, League, Championship, whatever the case may be. And I would like to think now on the back of winning that, that the likelihood is he'll stay for at least another year now. I think if maybe if Meath hadn't won it, or possibly if Meath were in the All-Ireland Championship maybe this year, Mickey, the temptation might have been for him to just call it a day there and then. I do feel now this is like a new dawn, and I feel he would go again just to be part of it for at least another year. But yeah, what a man, what a servant, and yeah, what a role model to everybody, including the younger players on the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we will be doing a full review of Meath's Tailteann Cup win from Saturday over on our Patreon services, patreon.com/WeAreMeath. It's the Loyal Royals podcast. We have a whole host of interviews. For a change, we've got Colm O'Rourke, but to change it up a little bit, Davey, you caught up as well with Mick Doherty. He's involved with the management side of things, doing the logistics. And you also caught up with the kit man, Paddy Doyle, as well. So three really interesting interviews there. Of course, Colm being involved. And it's nice to hear from other people involved with the team. And we will be doing a full review of it. We'll go into it in detail and we'll talk about the way Down set up. And we'll talk about all the different players and how they did on the day. And yeah, something to look forward to this week. And just brilliant. You know, six wins on the trot as well, Davey. Like, how huge is that going to be for me going forward? Don't go into it in detail, but six on the trot, like.
Six on the trot, two of those against Down, who are the other outstanding team, if you like, in the competition. So I think that's huge, and it should be a really good motivating factor for us going into the league next year, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it wasn't the best of weekends. It could have been even better, but the Meath ladies were out on Saturday evening. They were down in Kerry, taking on Kerry in the All-Ireland quarter-final of the Ladies' Championship. And unfortunately, Meath gave up their stranglehold on the Ladies' Senior title to Kerry on a scoreline of 2-8 to 10 points. And Davey, damage was done in the first half by Kerry when they led 2-7 to 3 points at half-time. And one of the goals being a real sloppy goal to give away. And I know that Monica McGurk is such an assured goalkeeper. She was kicking herself after that goal. But in the end, that goal wasn't the difference between the teams, let's just say.
Yeah, it was a really uncharacteristic error from her. I know there was a really strong breeze behind Kerry in the first half and the ball just caught it and she obviously got caught under it or whatever. But look, the damage was the two goals in the first half. I think if they had a limited Kerry to whatever it was, 7 points, I think they probably would have went on to win the game. But as it were, Meath needed to come out and get at least a goal, if not two, in the second half. And to be honest with you, Mickey, we know that they haven't been hitting above the 10-point mark in many games this year. So Kerry were always likely to do enough. And it was good. Meath died on their sword, if you like, and as you'd expect from All-Ireland champions. But it's been a really, really tough and challenging year for them. We know the turmoil off the field and everything like that. And whilst it was a brave performance, I think it's probably the writing was on the wall going into this game. And that's disappointing. I don't mean to be too downbeat on it, but it does feel like it's nearly the end of an era. And obviously there's players in this that are young players and they'll be there for a long time to come. But it does feel like there needs to be almost like a period of transition now. And possibly some new players need to be integrated in, and we need to, I suppose, reprioritize what they're going to do in the next couple of years. That's all for another day. We're not sure what will obviously happen with management and stuff, but it was a disappointing way to go out. But look, they've had an absolutely extraordinary 3 or 4 years, so you know we can take nothing away from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And they put in a massive shift in that second half, reducing Kerry to a point and scoring 7 points. But in fairness, Kerry just shut up shop and wouldn't let Meath get through for that goal. Incidentally, you know, kept giving frees away. Didn't mind Emma Duggan kicking frees in that second half, as long as Meath didn't get through for a goal. As well as that, now I was speaking to a panellist today, Davey, actually. And, you know, she was saying that, you know, maybe a break for this team will be good because, as you said, they've been on the go for the last 3, 4, 5 years, you know, non-stop. And it's just been go, go, go. So maybe a little break might do them good. And as you said, blood a few new players coming into the team and it might freshen things up because they haven't become a bad team overnight. Like, they're still you know, one of the best teams in the country on their day. So it wouldn't take a whole lot to tweak things in there.
No, and I think they'll probably need to tweak their style of play as well, and they'll need to find other ways of playing against teams, because definitely looking at them this year, Mickey, teams have sussed them out, you know, and it's almost been like there's nearly no plan B. And I understand that, because plan A has been so good to them over the last number of years. But they do need to try and reinvent themselves. You're right, a break might do them good. Some of the players will go away, others mightn't come back. Like, you know, there's going to be a bit of that. I'd like them to sort out the management thing as quickly as possible, because I think that needs clarity. The championship's about to start, in the club championship's about to start now in a couple of weeks, Mickey. So whether that's going to be Jenny or whoever that's going to be, I think that should be done ASAP, so that whoever it is has a chance to kind of go and watch the games, see the talent, and kind of pick their panel off that. It probably does need a clean slate though now at this stage, I would say. You know, you've had people involved over the last 5-6 years from Eamon's tenure, and that my take on it would be clean slate and kind of go from scratch, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, thank you to the Mead ladies for all the joy they've brought us over the last number of years, and I'm sure they will come back. And as you said, hopefully they get the management end of things sorted as soon as possible. And hopefully going forward, we'll be, you know, following them to Croke Park once again to lift an All-Ireland title. Speaking of the ladies, the girls with sticks, as we like to call them, the Camogues, they're out in the All-Ireland Intermediate semi-final next Saturday in Thurles at 3 p.m. against the old foes Westmeath. And we want to wish Brendan Skeehan the best of luck. Massive game for these girls, Davey. They know an awful lot about this Westmeath team, and they'll be looking to get some revenge on them from the earlier part of the group stages of the championship.
Exactly. And look, we knew Westmeath had to win that, and they sure enough did. But this will be a completely different game, and you'd expect Meath to come out swinging in this. Obviously, going to have Aoife Minogue available. She was outstanding for the footballers last weekend, and now she can solely focus on the Camogie, which is probably good in one sense. And sure, Brendan's a bit relieved at that too, but it'd be a big challenge. It's back at the scene of the crime where they had their quarterfinals, so they're well acquainted with it. It's a venue that's been good to meet over the years, so let's hope they can dig out another big performance down in Thurles and hopefully book their spot in All-Ireland final again, which would be terrific, because the stumbling block in the last number of years has been the semi-final stage. I think if they can get by this one, I think the omens are good for this team.
Yeah, and again, you've spoken about Brendan Skeehan and this young team and blooding new players into this team. You know, it's really freshened things up, and it's given them a new lease of life. And, you know, very similarly, that could very, very easily happen with the ladies as well in the coming year. But, you know, we were kind of worried for this team at the start of the year. We were saying that it's probably going to be a bit of transition here going on. Mm. But Brendan Skeehan has done a great job at, you know, bringing all these players together and getting the best out of them.
He deserves great credit, because it would have been very easy for him to step away last year and probably see a number of the high-profile stalwarts of Meath Camogie stepping away for one reason or another, and for him to do likewise. But he's obviously seen something with the young players that's encouraged him to stay on in the belief that there's something there. I would also say, on to your point as well, the fact that maybe there weren't massive expectations about this team at the start of the year maybe helped them, you know. And even when you think about the Meath ladies, in that there's still quite a degree of pressure on their shoulders year after year. So maybe, like we say, if expectations are dampened somewhat next year, that might suit them like it suited the Camogues this year. And they've been superb, obviously.
Yeah, they really have. Well, we wish them the best of luck when they head down to Thurles on Saturday, 3 p.m. Best of luck to Brendan Skeehan and all the girls involved on Saturday, and we will be hoping that they're coming home with a victory and bringing us back to the intermediate final. So best of luck to all of them. Davey, we'll move on now to some club action. The championship is back up and running in Meath. Absolutely brilliant to see it. And you were out yourself on the weekend, and I suppose before we go on to those fixtures, we have to talk about Eastern Gaels, you know, making their debut in Meath football. And you know, great to see it. It was against yourselves on Sunday afternoon in Centralstown, Father Tully Park. And, you know, they even had a few subs and whatever. And this Eastern Gaels side, they're here to stay. They're not going to go away. And they're only going to build and build.
Yeah, they'll go down as obviously a massive occasion for them. I know they've been training all year, but this was their first bow into Meath football. And I know they've probably a number of players that they're still trying to push through and get in, and that'll help them if and when that eventually does happen. But it was a big occasion, historic occasion, obviously. And yeah, listen, they battled well. Obviously, there was a bit of a gulf there, but the lack of competitive action probably didn't stand to them. And they'll only get better. Do you know what I mean? That was the very start for them. That's them at their lowest. They're going to progressively get better game after game, year after year, and obviously go on from that. But yeah, from our perspective, we had a job to do, and just relieved to kind of have it over and done now, Mickey, nearly.
Yeah. You know, it is a numbers thing, and they did have a number of good footballers on the team, in fairness to them, Eastern Gales. They just probably didn't have enough numbers and whatever, but that will grow in time. As you said, there's a lot of transfers and stuff to come through. And, you know, before we go on to it, and I suppose asking you the question, how do you prepare for that kind of game? Like, that must be a really difficult one, because you didn't know what you were going to be coming up against.
Yeah, because even as late as Thursday or Friday, we were saying, will they actually play? Like, will they have a team? And like, from my conversations with different people, I was well informed that they would. We didn't over-egg it, but generally we would do a bit on opposition teams. As you know yourself, you would do. We literally couldn't do a tap. We just had to turn up and go at it. Obviously, we were coming off the back of a very disappointing result against Slane a couple of weeks previous, so it was important for us to try and get that out of the system. And I think, by and large, we did. Missing a number of players too, so look, we'd have been happy, and we had a good start to the game. I think that was important too. It kind of just put us in that position that we could kind of relax a little bit into the game then after that.
Yeah, it was a Championship Sunday, lots of games going ahead, and you know, as I said, Championship match. Davey, you had your tan looking fantastic. Were you disappointed that Aaron Browning, the captain of Eastern Gales, had a better tan than you?
I didn't really see it, to be honest with you. Now, come to think of it, Mickey. Do you know, Oisín Smith was annoyed with you, though. He reckons he has a better tan than me. He said it to me in the pub last night. He was saying you were comparing me and him, and not a mention of poor Oisín. He always tans quite well as well.
It's funny, because when Oisín came off and he had that injured shin and whatever, you could see where the tan was wiping off. So at least
you wouldn't see that with me now.
At least yours was real.
Yeah. I started the second half with that rain. If it wasn't really, be under some pressure there when the rain was coming down.
Yeah, I went into the dugout for that one, in beside all the Cortown boys. But anyways, look, as we said, Meath Club Championship got back underway on the weekend, you know, on Friday night and Sunday. Sandwiching the Tauchon final on Saturday, and we'll go through some of the results.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control Auto Mower from your phone. Auto Mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised Auto Mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
We'll go to the Coolrite Refrigeration Junior B Football Championship Group A from Friday night in Grange Garden. It was Drumcondra against Clonard, and Drumcondra getting the win, 13 points to 1-8. Also on Friday night in Castletown, Kilmaine and Mudd 2-10, St Mary's GFC 12 points. And then on Sunday, it was yourselves out. Hughes played against Eastern Gales, 7-14 to Eastern Gales, 1 point. And then from Group B, the results from that one in Drumcondra on Sunday, it was Mainalty 10, Slane 9 points. That one from early on Sunday afternoon. And then the final game was played in Mainalty on, that was the final game of the Junior B Championship. Boards Mill, 8 goals and 20, St Paul's 2 points. So both groups, Davey, looks like there's going to be one team that's going to skew a lot of the score differences.
Yeah. Look, disappointing, obviously, for Paul's. I feel for Paul's because they don't want to be in the Junior B Championship, but we know from talking to Brendan Thornton on the preview podcast last week for voting rights and all sorts of things, they have to affiliate to the Junior B Championship, which I think is something that needs to be looked at now. Like when you look at those results, I don't think that's doing anybody any good. You know, the teams that are being beaten, the teams that are beating them, ourselves included. So there's going to be that anomaly between games on a weekly basis and stuff like that. So it's a difficult one. I just hope they can continue to field. That's I'd see the championship out for what it's worth. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said, we'll be doing a full review of these over on our Loyal Royals podcast. So we won't go into detail on them. We did get covering a good few of these games last weekend. So do stay tuned to our Loyal Royals podcast for those. And from the Junior A Championship, we're going to go to the Group B results first. In Boards Mill on Friday night, it was Dunsany 11 points, St Ulton 6. Davey Rispam was at that one. And on Sunday in Mainalty, it was Clonagale 2-11, Kilbride 13 points, and I was at that one myself. Davey, you know, that really, like, this Junior A Championship is just so unforgiving, and it's tough when you lose your first game.
It is, and especially the two that lost their first game. We kind of felt that Ultons and Kilbride needed, because there's three big hitters in this group. You've got Dunsany, Clonagale, and obviously Sidon, who have yet to play. Especially for them, I think it was vitally important that they got something out of their first round. Obviously, that hasn't materialised now, and they're going to be under the cosh. I think Ultons have Clonagale next, and Kilbride actually have a break, so Kilbride have no game now for a month and stuff. So that's tricky, but you're right. It's especially in a grade like Junior A, winning your first round is paramount.
Yeah, and when you look at it, Dunsany, you know, the beaten finalists every year for the last 100 years, Clonmacnoise, you know, relegated last year. Sidon beaten semi-finalists last year. St Dunstan's were beaten semi-finalists as well last year, not mistaken, Davey.
They were beaten semi-finalists last year.
Was it last year or the year before? Maybe it was the year before.
Year before.
So, like, really is a massive, massive group. The only, I suppose, good thing is you can see from the two results that it is going to be a tightly contested Group B, because there wasn't much between them. In fairness, you know, 5 points between Dunsany and St Dultans. Dunsany, if I'm not mistaken, raced into a lead and St Dultans came back at them, but the damage was done at the start of that game, really.
Yeah, it was a strange one, Mickey. Ultons were very defensive, and Shane Mangan put up a tweet. I'm not sure if you've seen it after the game. Like, there was 2 minutes to go. I think they were 3 or 4 points down, and they were still playing with a sweeper.
Yeah,
to me, it looked like a team that were either working at score difference or they were just happy to lose by 4 or 5 points, which I thought was strange. They never really went for it, which I was a little bit disappointed with. Now, I was a little bit disappointed with Dunsany too. I thought they were unimpressive, to say the least. Now, it was an awful night for football, and they'll probably just be happy to open up with a win. And
Yeah, absolutely. And from the Ballyrees Arms restaurant and guest commentation, Junior A, Group A from the Junior Championship, there was only one game played because the other game between St Bridges and Vincent's is taking place on Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken. It was the game between Ballinlock and Moyla, Northmead Derby. It was played in Millbrook in Oldcastle, and it was Ballinlock who came away with the bragging rights, 3-9 to Moyla, 7 points, Davey.
Yeah, again, another big win. You feel Ballinlock now, they put themselves in a strong position. Moyla are going to be up against it. Ballinlock just had their homework done. They got a lot of the matchups right, won the individual battles. Moyla, I know they had Joe Mealy got married on the Saturday. He was playing then on the Sunday. There was another lad playing cornerback for them too. Probably not ideal. But look, great win for Ballinlough, beating semi-finalists last year. They've got a really good young squad. Con Cleary still at the helm. You'd expect them to be there, thereabouts this year. It's a fine start for them.
And if I'm not mistaken, in Group A, there's two of the relegated teams in Group A. Is that right? Ballinlough and Kilmainham.
Ballinlough. Vincent's and Kilmainham.
Sorry, Vincent's and Kilmainham, yeah.
And then you've got Bridget's obviously coming up from Junior B.
So, and again, really going to be a tightly contested one. Obviously, the intermediate and senior will get underway the weekend after next, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, Davey? So we've hurling fixtures this coming weekend, Davey, and you might be able to update us on those.
Yeah, second round action coming your way this weekend, starting on Friday evening in the Ted Murtha Clothing and Footwear Group A Championship, where Impact Tailteann Kiltale play Ratoath at 7:30. Also on Friday in Longwood, it's Killeen versus Kildockey. That's a 7:30 throw-in as well. And this one is on Saturday in Group A, and it's in Boards Mill, and it takes place between Nafina and Trim, 6:30 throw-in for that one. Into Group B then, on Friday night in Rathmullyne, it's Clannagale versus St. Peter's, the Boyne, both winners in round one. That throws in at 7:30. Also on Friday in Trim, it's Dundry and Kilmessan, both beaten in round one. So a big game there, that throws in at 7:30 as well. And also a game on Saturday in Kiltale, and that's between Longwood and Blackhall Gales, 6:30 throw-in for that one. In the Intermediate Championship on Friday evening in Batterstown, round two, game between Boardsmill and Drumree, 7:30. In Trim, it's Navan O'Matney's versus Kildockey at 6:30. And also on Saturday, it's Gaelconnell Kill versus Rathmullyne at 6:30, and that game's in at Boy. Into Group B then of the Intermediate Championship, there's a game on Thursday evening in Drumree, and that takes place between Kilmessan and Trim, quarter day throw-in for that one. Then on into Saturday in Ratoath, it's Wolf Tones versus Peter's the Boy in 6:30. And one game on Sunday in that, it's in Kiltale, Kilscare Moyle taking on Dunmore Ashburn, 7:15, late throwing on a Sunday. Of course, the All-Ireland hurling final is on Sunday, so that's probably why that is. And that's all the hurling fixtures, Mickey. There's a few games in the Junior Championship as well, Junior Hurling Championship and Junior 2 as well.
Very good, very good. Well, before we move on to our lottos, Davey, I think you may have had a couple of fundraisers you wanted to talk to the listeners about.
I do indeed. The first one is for the Duleek Bellewstown Club, and they're running sweepstakes for the Open Golf, which is starting very soon. So they're running a sweepstakes to raise much-needed funds for their club. They've got £1,000 up for grabs. All you have to do is simply pick 5 golfers and track your team live during the tournament. You can enter your team by going onto their social media and playing it there, and they've got explainers as to how the whole thing works. They've said, we'd really appreciate your help in spreading the word to friends and family, helping to raise as much as possible for the club, all while enjoying the final golf major of the year. After you enter, if you invite 5 people to get involved through the referral link, you'll receive a free entry. So nice initiative there from Duleek Bellewstown. And there's a charity fundraiser taking place in Kells this Saturday, Mickey. And it's the Joe Murphy Memorial Cup. And this is for, the link is after crashing on me now. It's taking place on Saturday, the 22nd of July in Park Columkill, the Kells pitch. And it's a football match between the past Meath heroes versus the local club heroes. There'll be crack and music in Muldoon's bar. That's Danny's in Kells afterwards. So everybody's invited back to that. And it's organised by Paul Murphy of Gaelconnell. All funds raised are going to cystic fibrosis. So terrific cause there. And no doubt there'll be a big crowd gathering in the old pitch in Kells for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great pitch to be having it as well. And you know, that little kind of a bowl effect, you know, around the pitch. Everybody's up on a height, and if they get the weather, it'll be just absolutely fantastic to see some of those old Meath legends playing against current players there in around the Kells area. So best luck to both of those fundraisers. Time now to move on to our lotto segment. Davey, if you're not ready, I can go ahead with mine, or if you're ready, you can fire ahead with yours.
I'll fire ahead, Mickey. I've got them here. So first one is Waterstown from Sunday night. The numbers drawn were 2, 7, 16 and 25. There was no winner. There's 7,500 jackpot. They had one match three winner who was Christy Reynolds. Next week's draw is open and it's worth 9,600 euro. You can play via Club Force or pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or in O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. Menalty are next in, and their results from the 16th, which was Sunday night, they've got 3,200 euro on offer. That wasn't won. The numbers were 7, 15, 18 and 20. Three match three winners, each receiving 70 euro, were Emma Carey, Paul McCabe and the Menalty adult team, Kira Paddy Byrne. The special online prize of 50 euro goes to Pat Teague, and next draw takes place on Sunday. They've got 3,400 euro there. Castletown next up, and their results from the 12th of July. The jackpot was 4,400 euro. They had no winner. The numbers were 3, 12, 13 and 20. Lucky up winners, each receiving 30 euro each, were Anne Young, Barry Sheeran, Mark and Kevin Smith, Orla Mackin and Chloe Casti. Navin O'Matney's are next in, and their numbers from last week were 9, 22, 27 and 31. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Stephen Murray, Aisling Graham, Mary Renix, Mona McHugh and Bernie and Margaret. The next draw takes place on the 18th of July and they've got 11,300 euro on offer. Kildalki are next in and they had no winners of this week's lotto. The numbers were 4, 15, 19 and 30. They had one match three winner who was Phil Flynn, and Phil collects 150 euro. Next week's draw is worth 9,700 euro and you can play online via the club's online lottery system. Menalty from last Monday night, the 10th of July, 8, 11, 14 and 18. 320 euro winners were Lisa Williams, Jenny Garrett and Porrick Harnan, the man himself. What a week he had. The next draw takes place tonight. That's the 17th of July. They've got 3,700 euro and you can play it at menalvygfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from last Monday night, they had no winner. 3, 8, 9 and 24. The jackpot was worth 8,100 euro. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro, were Christopher Collier, Laura Morgan, Judy Brady, Paddy Kavanagh, and Helena Caffrey. Their neighbours, Drumbarra, 2,300 euro. 30 euro winners were Kieran Waters, Susie Grimes, Helen Hart, Niall Brady, and M. Ward. Ballinlough are in next, and their letters from last week were F, G, L, and T, 5,200 euro, jackpot not won. The next draw takes place on the 24th. Match three winners sharing 100 euro were Gillian McDonald, John Farrell and Connie Gibney. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30 second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
And the last one, Mickey, is from my own Cortown GFC from last Friday night. We had no winner of our 15,100 euro jackpot. Five 20 euro winners were Leanne Therese Codd, Colm Geraghty, the Dempsey Boys, Angela Douglas, and Lara and Raymond Quayle. Shirley Conway won the three tickets to the Talton final. The numbers were 13, 24, 26, and 29. Next week's jackpot is on Friday night, where we have 15,200 euro and two tickets to the All-Ireland Hurling final for Sunday. So you could be in for 15,200 or tickets to the All-Ireland Hurling final. CortonGA.com/lotto.
Did you say or? So it's either the 15,200 or the two tickets to the All Ireland hurling final.
Exactly.
So you can't have both.
You can't have both, because if your numbers come out and you win the 15,200 euro, your ticket's already been pulled out. So they pull again.
So you can't be pulled out then for the tickets. Okay, right.
You're some greedy bollocks, Brent.
Yeah, greedy. You're only giving 20 euro out for match three winners. That's just now terrible. So
five of them. We're giving all Ireland tickets. We give Malta tickets.
Anyways, come here. I've got a few here as well. The usual protagonists. We've got Kilmainham Woods Lotto from last Monday. It was the 10th of July, and their lotto will be taking place tonight. The numbers wrong were 11, 16, 19, and 24. There was no jackpot winner. There was five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro. Aidan Finnegan, Martin Jackson, Dennis Farley, Rachel Carlin, and Damien Collins. Tonight's jackpot is 6,200 euro. And I love it. Next draw for the hashtag Junior B Championship Fever Begins jackpot on Monday the 17th of July is in McKenna's at 9 p.m. So that was taking place there this evening. The next one I have is from Centralstown, but I had it and it's after disappearing. We'll have to look for that. There it is there again. So Centralstown's lotto from last Monday as well. There was no jackpot winner. The numbers drawn were 11, 18, 20, and 23. There was five 25 euro winners: Katrina Riley, James O'Donoghue, Stacey Grimes, Tony Oakes, and the Clark family. And this week's jackpot taking place tonight is 4,400 euro. And the last one that I have is the usual from Jelly. It was Simonson's Lotto last Friday, the 14th of July, 3,400 euro. There was no winner. There was no match trees. The lucky dips were Tom Caffrey, Mia Callan, and Sandra McGarry. The numbers drawn were 7, 19, 26, and 27. Next Friday's jackpot on the 21st of July is 3,450, and you can get the links to all of those lottos on any of the social media pages for those clubs. So get on there and get your tickets. Just reading through Jelly's next message. He just sent me in a message straight away after sending that, because he sent that early on Saturday at about 2 o'clock. He says, I'm getting it in early this week so I don't make the same mistake as last week, because the week beforehand he didn't send it through until the Monday. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Fair play to him. I've got two more since you're after Saturday talking, would you believe, Mickey? People must know we're recording. Kilmainham have updated us with this week's results. So Monday night, tonight, no winner, 14, 21, 22, and 24, 8,200 jackpot. 520 euro winners were Mazur, Stephen Tormey, Thomasina, and Sam Black, Joe Walsh, and Jeanette Collier. And Gail Colum Gill, their neighbours, quickly following up with their lot of results from the 13th, which was last Thursday, I think. 6, 18, 24, and 29. 5,850 jackpot, not one. Match three winners sharing 150 euro between them were Aris Smith, Conor McGovern, and Damien Dardis. They've got 6,000 even of a jackpot next week.
Brilliant. No problem at all. Great to get even the results in at this late stage as well, and be able to give them to our listeners. So time to move on now, Davey, to Instagram Interactive. Sure, there might have been a few people getting involved this week after that Tottenham Cup win.
Yeah, there were indeed, Mickey. PS Davies has been quickly in touch with us. He's not too happy, though. He wants to know, where's all the prawn sambos? Ask for them at about 20 places. None. He was up in the premium section.
He'd want to go to Old Trafford for the prawn sandwiches. You know, we still haven't done that even in the premium sections in Croke Park yet.
Next one is from Colin Mack.
You've been in the media section. You've gone in there. You know what it's like when you go into the little coffee dock and whatever in there in the media area. Lovely sandwiches and all that, but they're not going to go Fancy Dan and give you a prawn sandwich. There's nice sandwiches there.
No. And I've been in boxes and stuff as well. Like, and I don't think I've ever seen a prawn sandwich either.
No, not yet. No. The day that they give out prawn sandwiches is the last day I'll be commentating on a game of football.
I agree. Thank God the rugby didn't stick in Croke Park, because
prawn sandwiches, caviar, and champagne.
Colin McAreevy wouldn't be used to any of those sort of things, but he just had a great weekend at Gaelic. I suppose you couldn't argue with it. I know he would have been disappointed on Saturday, but the three games we've seen over the weekend were all really close and very good games to watch.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's funny when the draw was made for the semi-finals, you know, a lot of people talking in different groups and whatever. And I said, it's probably the best draw that Monaghan could have got, because I didn't think that they'd be anywhere close to Kerry, Derry, but that they could get close to Dublin, which they did do, but just didn't have the legs in the end.
Hmm. Don O'Leary says, was the square ball rule in hurling reintroduced? I think I have a feeling I know what this is linked to as well. Do you remember Dunreary played Blackall Gaels last week?
Yes.
And they had Dunreary had a goal ruled out in injury time for a square ball. I've found the rule, right? Listen to this now, because I wanted to try and make sense of it. In hurling, after the ball enters the small rectangle, if an attacking player legally enters the small rectangle and the ball is played from it but returned before the attacking player has had time to leave, a foul is not committed if he does not play the ball or interfere with the defence. Or, after the ball enters the small rectangle, when a point is scored and the ball is sufficiently high to be out of reach of the players, and so long as the player in the small rectangle has not interfered with the defence, then the point scored should be allowed. I assume that's probably the same with a goal, but it's all very complicated,
that
isn't it?
I'd love to get an English teacher to try and decipher what that actually means.
That's what's in the referee's rule book. So, go figure.
That has me more confused than I was beforehand.
Same. I read it earlier on, made no sense to me, so I was saying I'll read it out and see if you, but no.
No,
it wasn't just that hangover then.
Send it on to me, will you, so that I can kind of like read through it myself a few times and whatever, and maybe put up a reply on Instagram or something like that. But that's that doesn't make sense at all to me.
Captain Anyways. Cook said, naysayers doing my head in. It's silverware at the very beginning of a rebuild. What more do they want? I'll be honest, I haven't seen too much negativity, so I'm not sure. I'm sure there is a bit of it if she's saying that, but I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you have, Mickey.
I've seen opposition counties and stuff, and a bit of banter and all that, but I haven't seen anybody within the county turn around and degrading it or anything like that. I can understand why teams or counties outside of Meath would be saying, lads, calm down and whatever, because they didn't win it and they've got no silverware themselves. So, you know, they probably don't understand the relevance of winning a trophy like that in a so early in a rebuilding process and how big that can be.
Hmm. Cormac Brown wants to know, will Meath be able to push for promotion to Division 1 next year?
Okay, like, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Do you know what I mean? Like, this
to be fair, he's asking the question.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's the worry, is that we will, like, what we need to do is we need to consolidate ourselves in Division 2 next year. You know, and be looking to finish top 4. And if that gets you into the top 2, great. But we want to be, like, I think we have to make the step up now to be, because there are little pockets that you kind of have to go through on the ladder to get up to Division 1. And I suppose finishing top 4 Division 2 is the next step. And the bonus is finishing in second or first.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with you, to be honest. Shane Mangan said, Junior Steed Championship needed? ?
Yeah, like, and this is probably relevance to... or in reference to St. Paul's and Eastern Gales. Maybe there's no need for a Junior C Championship. Maybe they should be allowed to go into the Premier Reserve Championships and be brought down to a division that will suit them, so that they can make the stepping stones that they need to get up through the ranks and to prove themselves in Meath Championship football.
Yeah, absolutely. Dylan Cretton said Junior C Championship definitely needed. Paul's for Junior B, though. So he's keeping the faith.
Yeah. So okay. And so, if you introduce a Junior C Championship, what is it? Just two teams going into it, because you've only got 10. What have you got? 10, 11 teams in Junior B.
You've got 11 in Junior B. Yeah, 11 in Junior B. Yeah.
can't reduce that.
That would go down tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't reduce it anymore. Like,
no. Well, there's 10 in junior A. Like, I mean,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't go down to 9.
Well, it was less last year. There was only 7 in junior B last year. One group of 7, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you all played in one round robin group. Yeah.
I don't see why they couldn't do two groups, 1 of 5 and 1 of 4, though.
Yeah. Oh no. You probably could do 5 and 4. Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. Like, it's again, like, but this is to make a junior C championship. So who goes into junior C?
Oh, sorry. No. Yeah. I get that. That's your point. I do. I think the Premier Championship is the answer. Like,
yeah, like, because you can't.
I'm not going to be disrespectful, but if they went into junior C with some second teams, they would still probably be out of their depth.
The same, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Lucky to be working, said Sean Duggan loves the Kildare Hams. He is a ham as well.
You spend a lot of time with him on the weekend. You can fill us in on that.
Yeah, bit of time, yeah, but he was okay.
And Sean Duggan.
Sean Duggan's in Australia. Yeah, he is. So he's far enough away, so he'll be okay.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Lucky also said Northern teams down Derry, Monaghan in the Attic as well, lad.
Yeah. And I suppose without being nasty, it's great to see it. You know that because traditional football teams, it's going to be a traditional football team winning the All-Ireland, and it's going to be a traditional football team winning the Tailteann Cup this year. So there's a lot to be said for that traditional style of football.
Jack Walsh said Eastern Gales in the Attic, Cortown free.
Yeah, harsh, but is it the truth? Probably is, yeah. But look, come here. I thought that Eastern Gales put in a shift and never give up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, they battled. They battled on,
right till the very, very end. And, you know, in their first ever bow, as you said, into Meath club football, you know, I thought that they can be proud of themselves.
Sure. Dean Pluck said split Meath in two.
Yeah. What? Just so we can win two Tailteann Cups?
We might give Northmead to Cavan, and that might get Cavan over the line, maybe. Third year of asking.
Yeah, I tell you what, you can deliver the news to the lads.
to our lads or to Cavan?
To the Northmead lads.
Okay, yeah. Zach Griffin said Adam will doing mad to do the senior preview for Kells, needs to get things off his chest.
Well, look, we'll get his number. We'll invite him on. What do you reckon, Davey?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
What does he need to get off his chest, do you reckon?
I don't know. I'd love to know, though. Joey Mooney, this is an interesting take. He said, Meath winning and allowed GA in the shite. What a weekend.
Yeah. There's lads over there jumping chips.
Robert Perfield has said, may double Louds rent on Park Halton next season.
And we'll have our stadium long before them.
Yeah, it's an unreal the way things can change and flip-flop. Brian Flynn said, Down played champagne football in the semis. We burst our bubbles in the final. Love that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely brilliant. And lovely little analogy of how Down went in their two games.
Robert Perfield said that Geordie spinner in the first half. Yeah, that was a beautiful point.
It was class. I was screaming when he scored it. I just thought, oh, you little dancer, yeah. Like, you know, and that's what Geordie could do.
It seemed to hang in the air, didn't it? It just, your spinner was the best way because it wasn't even a direct outside the boot shot that normally goes to, you know, it just seemed to spin and float.
And he had to do that because the defender was closing him down. So he had to get plenty of height on it. And the only way was to actually put all that spin on it. Like it was just, and to do it like the way he turned and took the shot, only Geordie could do it.
Mm, absolutely. As Colin Morocco would say. And I've been told I'm saying absolutely too much as well. So I need to stop that. Darren McVan wants to know our club senior championship predictions and what should Meath achieve next season. So I suppose two things there.
Yeah, well, we did give our predictions on the club senior championship earlier this year. And I'm not changing mine. I'm still sticking with Hope, Davey. You went with Summerhill earlier in the season. Have you changed your mind yet or?
No, I think Summerhill and Kills as the outsiders. And you're going Retort, and obviously Simon's down as a bit of a dark horse then.
Yeah. And you know what? Like it definitely, you know, perception of the championship may have changed a little bit throughout the All County Football League. And the surprise package I thought was probably Simonstown. Some of the results that they got showed that they're not gone away. And as you said, could be dark horses for the senior championship. But it is going to be a hotly contested one, I think.
What should Meath achieve next season, in your opinion?
Well, as I said, top four of Division 2 and a victory in the All-Ireland Championship would be lovely to see to get them through to a preliminary quarter-final. And who knows then, the world is your lobster, as Rodney would say.
So you're not fussed about the Leinster then?
Am I fussed about the Leinster? Provincial Championship for me is an absolute shambles. So it is. I just don't see the relevance.
Do you feel now it doesn't carry much significance for me because we're guaranteed to be in the All-Ireland regardless of what happens?
Yeah, there's that. But I suppose going into the All-Ireland Championship, you'll want to have, depending on who we come up against in the Leinster, we'd have to be looking at ourselves as second or third best in Leinster now, maybe third to Kildare. So if we can meet Kildare in a quarterfinal, semi-final, that's where we have to set the bars, beating Kildare and getting the second spot in Leinster and going on. And if we meet Dublin, showing that we can compete with them. Mm. You know, I'm not saying beat them. Well, that would be beautiful and lovely. Let's not get ahead of ourselves or whatever. So I think really the league and the All-Ireland Championship is where it's at.
Lovely. I've left this to last. It's our good pal, John Kelly, who kind of dips in and out. He doesn't contribute every week, but when he does, it's always good. It's not as long as it normally is. I know you're going for the pen and paper, Mickey, so relax there. but it's only three messages, so I'll read them out. He said, and this is just on Sean Boylan. He said, Sean Boylan, 80 years old, and that was Sean's 21st trophy with Meath over 40 years. Centenary Cup in 84, Leinster titles in 86, 87, 88, 90, 91, 96, 99, and 01. All Ireland's in 87, 88, 96, 99. League titles in 88, 90, 94. O'Byrne Cup 83, 92, 01, 04. And finally, Sean's 21st trophy with Meath, the Tolta Cup in 2023. In Sean, we trust. It's class.
Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, I did see that, all right. And, you know, just it was beautiful to see the camera panning, obviously, to the players, then to Colm O'Rourke. And then nearly as an afterthought, or when you thought that that was it, it panned over to Sean Boylan and the joy on Sean's face. And you're like going, oh, that's just amazing. And it's funny, I was in Dunboyne Castle today with work, and I'm going in, walking past the Sean Boylan statue, and I'm just like going, incredible. Just, there's something really special about that man. And, you know, like he has something that, you know, I'm not into, you know, the universe and all that kind of crack and all these different things, but there's an aura and there's a specialness to Sean Boylan that when you're in his presence, you feel it.
Yeah, you do. I couldn't agree more. And it was lovely to see him with the players and with Colm after the game. It was just, it felt right.
It did. Like, it was, it just felt like it wouldn't have been right if Meade were picking up a trophy, but then Sean Boylan, you know, like, I know it. Yeah, no. It was absolutely class. Is that it then from Instagram Interactive, Davey?
That's it, McShee.
Yeah, well, as we said, we've got a whole host of podcasts going out on our Loyal Royals podcast this week. Head on over to Patreon.com/WeAreMeade. You'll have the match day diary from the Tolkien final. That really is a good one. You should go over and have a listen to that. We're going to have a review from the Tolkien Cup final with interviews with Colm O'Rourke, Michael Doherty, and Paddy Doyle, the kit man, and Mickey Donnelly is the logistics man for the team. We'll also be announcing our first Kiko Sports Team of the Week for 2023 from the Meade Championships, Club Championships. And we'll be announcing the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and Top Scorer of the Week also. So do stay tuned for those. And we will be doing a full review of the Junior A and B Championship games that took place last weekend, and of course on Tuesday night of this week. We'll be doing that later in the week, so stay tuned for those. And anybody taking the field for the hurling next week, you know, best of luck in your club championships on that one. So I think that's it from this episode. So remember, we are Meade. Why? Nunc est bibendum, matters more.